We want to welcome you back to the Enduring Churches podcast. I'm Alan Small. I'm here with Trent Young, and we are on episode number 99. That's our 99th standalone episode, Trent. Oh, my goodness. 100's around the corner.
It is.
Can't wait for that one.
Yeah, and so we're thinking about, you know, what to do with that, how to celebrate 100. And Alan, you know, as I'm thinking back when we started this whole mess, that we didn't know if we could make it through 10. And so here we are at 100. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. And we're grateful for everyone who takes time to listen to us. You know, episode 98, when it was our 97, when it was released, I accidentally released the wrong audio file. One of our listeners let me know. So I got the right file uploaded real quick. And so was so grateful for that. It's great to have a community of people who come around, and we thank you for taking time to listen to us. Now, we're excited about episode 100, but we've got a great topic on episode 99 today, Trent. So tell us just a little bit about it.
Well, Alan, you know, as we've gone through this, our goal has been to help pastors and leaders in church settings and sometimes even business settings to be strong leaders, enduring leaders, and leadership is sometimes fun, sometimes hard, but today we want to talk about that great leaders own what's going on in their organization, whether it's a church, whether it's a business setting, whether it's a nonprofit. There are some important things that we as leaders need to own. And so today we want to talk about how to do that, what we need to own, and how to accomplish that. So listen.
Yeah, it's a great topic for us, Trent. You know, I was thinking about one of the things when Jesus looked at his disciples and says, "You are the light of the world." That was a statement of responsibility right there. You are responsible for what happens and the choices you make, and we certainly are. We are the light of the world, and that means we need to take responsibility for being light in the world and light in our churches and light as leaders. And so that's a great topic. I appreciate the notes and all that's been put together, but it doesn't begin clean, does it? We all have these little games we like to play.
Yeah, well, and I think a lot of that stems from insecurity on our part. But yeah, there's the old statement, and I wish I knew that who started this, but the buck stops here, right? There's a point as leaders where the buck stops, the decision stops, and the responsibility stops on our desk, our plate, in our lives. And so, you know, there are games that we try to play to push off the blame when things are bad, but then we'd like to receive the accolades when things are good. But so the blame game is one of those, and so why do we blame others for our current state? You know, Alan, that's tempting.
Well, isn't it convenient? You know, we could go with the old, the church lady. Well, how convenient.
Yeah. But
it is one of those things. It is one of those things. We like to blame other people for the problems. Well, you know, if the people in our church would just care, or they would just be passionate, or if the people in my church were listening to what I'm saying, and it's always their fault, and we don't stop to ask ourselves, am I communicating, or am I doing the things that I need to be doing so that people are getting it and hearing it? And so we just want to blame them for their inactivity, and really maybe it's not even their inactivity, maybe we're not communicating, and there's a lot of things. But the people in our church become an easy scapegoat for pastors when we don't like what's going on.
Right. Well, and, you know, Alan and I both have been in our current place of ministry for a long time, 13 years or so. And so, gosh, you know, I don't think we can blame any previous pastors now. No. It's all, dadgum, it's our fault. But
yeah, it is all mine.
Yeah. So we do have to own it. And sometimes there are cases when somebody else, maybe a staff member or a volunteer at your church has done something, and it truly is their fault. But think about this. What does that accomplish for you to push the blame off and to make them look like the bad guy, the scapegoat? It serves a better purpose for you to say, hey, this is all on me. Yeah, take the blame.
Well, you know, Trent, let's take a staff member who does something immoral or illegal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And is that their fault? Absolutely. But here's the question that's going to come back. Well, did we properly vet that person?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did we know what we were getting? Did we check the references? Did we do all those things? And mm-hmm. so, you know, we have to go in and start asking ourselves those hard questions too in those moments. So did I do the things that I needed to do to make sure that we had the right person to begin with? And obviously, sometimes you can come back and say, you know what, we did everything we could do, everything we knew to do, and this just happened, so we're going to take responsibility. But it's just how that stuff rolls. Yeah, sometimes it's other people's faults, but we've got something to learn from it and a responsibility to take in that. Because if we cover things up or we point fingers, where does that leave us? You remember that old statement too, you know, when you point a finger, you've got three pointing back at you. And I don't know what your thumb's doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have opposable thumbs for a reason, I guess. And I'm not sure what that is. But, you know, as you're saying that, Alan, I'm thinking about, you know, we've seen several instances, especially in the sports world in the last few years, where the head coach may not have been the guy who did something wrong. Thinking about the head coach from Penn State or Art Briles at Baylor. And, you know, they weren't the guy who did something wrong. But the blame got shifted to them because of what you just got through saying, Alan, about, you know, were they not vetting them or was there a problem that they were overlooking? And so in ministry, there are times when we need to look and see, are there issues in our church or in our team setting that we're just kind of casting a blind eye to?
Yeah, open eyes are everything in ministry. Mm-hmm. We need to have open eyes. I think that's one of the reasons, too, that, you know, we encourage churches to consider an outside consultation, Trent, is to get another set of eyes on what's going on inside your church, because we can become blind to the things that are going on inside and around us. And we need to have our eyes opened so that we can take ownership. If we just close our eyes to every problem, it's going to be really, really hard to take ownership. But there is a philosophy behind this own it mentality that we need to be aware of.
Yeah. Well, and if you don't start looking at things sometimes in somewhat of a critical manner to be able to dig deep and see what's going on, then you have no possibility of fixing it. And the goal is to fix it, not only for your benefit and for you to be able to endure, but you also want your church, you want those staff people to endure. You don't want to see families torn apart. You don't want to see bad things happen. There's a book, Alan, that I would suggest to people here. It's called Crucial Conversations. It's a very good book and just kind of gives people some step-by-steps on how to have crucial conversations. And so, you know, when we see hard things that need to be fixed, sometimes we're like, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk to that person about that. You need to, and there are ways to do that in a healthy way.
Yeah, those conversations are never fun. None of us like having them, but they've got to happen. And when we're talking today about owning it, and mm-hmm. we have this responsibility of taking ownership. And ownership's a funny thing. Mm-hmm. You have to be careful in how you do it. And so there are good times to own as well. I think sometimes we only think about owning the bad side. But if you're going to own the good times, you can't hog the spotlight on those, can you, Trent?
No. Yeah. Spread the wealth around on that. You know, like we said, we like to push the blame off on somebody else when things are bad, but things are good, we like to, oh, yeah, that's all me. But that's rarely the case in our churches, Alan. You and I can look around and we can see, you know, when good things happen, it's because there's a whole team that was working together.
Yeah, you know, I was listening to a sports commentator talk about the most valuable player candidate so far in the NBA season.
Mm.
And they were just talking about how, look at how these guys have made other people around them better.
Mm-hmm.
And the comment was, you know, they're fine if they need to go out and score 30 or 40 points in a game, they'll do that. But they would be just as content to score six points as long as their team came away with a win. And that's the most valuable player mentality. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what this whole idea is talking about. Are we making others around us better? And we do that when we share the good results and we share the good work that's going on. And we kind of deflect off ourselves to put them in the spotlight every now and then. I think that is one of the smartest things you can do, because when you own the good times and you share the good times, it's really going to help you when you need to own the other times as well.
Yeah, it's a character issue, and your character really comes out even in the hard and the good times. And you come across as really disingenuous if you only accept the positive things. And your team sees that. And the people that you want to be around you, they're like, well, I don't know that I want to be around a guy who's always shifting the blame to someone else, but then taking all the spotlight for themselves. And so we need to encourage our team, and we can do that, you know, by giving them the kudos. But then when things go wrong, we can stand with them and, you know, take responsibility alongside them for the hard times.
Yeah, and sometimes we need to take all that responsibility up on ourselves. I mean, it's when that idea, it's lonely at the top. I think the reason it's lonely at the top is because when there's really something that's got to be heavy to be borne, it's on us to bear that responsibility. And that can be hard, and that is one of the crushing parts of leadership, is to take responsibility even when you don't feel maybe that you should.
Right, that's true. And in one of our previous episodes recently, we talked about unity and how we achieve that in our team at church. And you know, if we've worked on that in the past, then there are going to be great things that happen. Even when scary things or bad things happen in church, you'll see that team come together and protect one another, protect their church family. You know, we've seen that in church situations where there's maybe something that a leader did or just something that someone from the outside came in. So this gives that team, because they worked on it in the past, because they worked on unity, then they're going to be coming together as a strong team in hard times.
Yeah, that idea of teamwork. And so, you know, as the leader, you have to take responsibility. Mm-hmm. But you also want to instill that in a team. So whether it's an executive team, administrative team, a ministry team, whatever that team is, when you make a decision, good or bad, you all stand together right in that decision. And that is a high-functioning team, mm-hmm, as opposed to a low-functioning team. You know, you all see that. One of the things I hated when I was in school, you know, as a kid, was anytime we got a group project. You remember those group projects in high school?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. You'd end up doing all the work. One or two people do the work for all six or seven. And then they go in, and everyone's just pointing this way, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah. Why is it not great? I don't know. It's them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't teach people how to be a part of a high functioning team and how, mm-hmm, to take individual responsibility and to mold that into a sense of group responsibility. And that's hard. And I really think it takes time and skill and conversation to develop those traits. And you mentioned it earlier, a lot of times it comes down to a character issue.
Yeah, your character will shine in some of the times when you may not want it to, but it's going to show up, and people around you are going to notice those things. But, you know, as we talk about a team set up, you know, that's a team. It's not just the person at the top, but every part, just like Scripture talks about us being in Ephesians, being the body of Christ. We are, you know, we want to be all of the team members, the little toe, the big toe, the brain, the mouth, they all need to work together to get where we're going. And so the more that we can bring those team members alongside of us, develop that unity, then it's an important deal. And, you know, if your ministry's not working, say things are going wrong in your church setting, then own it and then say, okay, how can we work to make it better? Don't just cast blame, and that's what a lot of people do. A weak leader will cast blame and then say it's their fault, they've got to fix it. But a strong leader will say, okay, this was a deal that we all are part of, and we've got to all work together to make it better.
Yeah, you know, Trent, I've made that mistake before, and I don't want people out there to think that we've always done this right.
Oh, heavens no.
So I've certainly made this mistake. When I was early in my church, you know, my first couple of years in my present church were a challenge. We had a lot of obstacles we had to deal with and overcome, and one of those was some people that needed to be removed from their positions over mm-hmm. some issues of immorality. And we had to make some hard decisions, but I made the mistake of not taking the responsibility for what had happened. I just kind of let it out there that, well, I can't talk about it. And I should have talked about it more. I didn't have to give all the details, but I should have said something. I should have stood up and said, yes, this happened. I made the decision, we made the decision, and mm-hmm. we're moving forward from this decision. Instead, I kind of did. I kind of swept it under the rug, and it caused a lot of discontent and a lot of questions, and probably set me off on a bad foot of leadership with some people who might have stuck with me in those early days instead of finding other pastures, had I been smarter in how I'd handled that. And so, yeah, I've certainly made the mistakes. You know, I've got the t-shirts to own it. That's why I'm wearing a t-shirt today. You know, I own the t-shirts for all these things that we talk about on here. But it's important. We have to learn to make things better. And right. if it's not working, we need to take ownership. And I did have some apologies to make later about how I handled that.
Well, and none of us are perfect in that, Alan. You know, just like you said, and we have to be able to make those apologies when we figure out that, hey, we have messed up. But each one of those situations, they're all teachable moments, right? And so we can learn from those. We can teach our church family during those, even the super hard ones, just like you mentioned, you know, that being able to speak during when somebody else has made a major mistake. The more we hide it, the more it looks like we're guilty, right? The more that we stand up and speak about it without hurting someone, you know, saying names and all those things. But we can still make it a teachable moment so that our church is able to be stronger and not have to go through that again.
Yeah, we definitely learned from those things. So, you know, the biggest thing, you're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes.
Right.
We should really be working hard not to keep making the same mistakes over and over
yes.
and over again, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is the, by definition, the nature of insanity is mm-hmm. doing those things over and over. So we certainly don't want to do that. Now, you know, Trent, what about the idea of a growing church? You know, let's kind of maybe talk about that one. If our church isn't growing, is it our church's fault?
Well, you know, one of the things I guess that comes to mind when we say that is that, okay, every church has a past, some history to it, and some luggage that we're all carrying along, just like we do as individuals. We all have our own luggage we're toting around. And so as we go through and we're learning through these things that we're just talking about and how to own our past, own our luggage, and then we have to work hard to sometimes unpack that in front of with our team, you know, to help them to understand who we are, what we are. You get to know your church family. And then it's through that process, I think, that you are able to regain some momentum. If your church is not growing, then, you know, you've got to do some things. And that means you got to get down and figure out why. Ask the why questions. Ask that with your whole team and say and get their whole input instead of, like we started out saying today, well, it's their fault. It's the previous pastor's fault, or it's my team's fault, or these volunteers. And we can't do that.
Well, you know, I love what you brought, that word momentum. You know, momentum is your best friend or your worst enemy all at the same time. Mm. You know, I love the picture of a train that's rolling down the tracks. You can't stop it. You know, they've made movies with unstoppable trains, and yet, when it's at a dead standstill, you can put a couple of blocks in front of it and it's not going anywhere. It is an amazing momentum is an amazing tool, and we want to use it. And mm-hmm. I think, Trent, for most people, again, that whole idea of what do I need to take ownership of? I think there's a point in time when things aren't going the way we think they should, that we just don't know what's going on, and we don't know what's missing, and we don't even sometimes know what to take responsibility for. But we have to be willing to look around and like you said, dig into that. What is that source? What is the issue that's going on? For us, a couple of years ago, it was looking at kind of our front door, recognizing mm-hmm. that people are going to our website and fixing our website, making our website better.
Mm-hmm.
This year, through the pandemic, we've seen a large number of young families come to our church, and every single one of them checked us out online and watched a service online before they came in person. It's a big deal. People want to know, wanted to see that, wanted to know. And so we had to kind of fix that entryway, so to speak, of our ministry. And that was just one thing, but you can't pretend that there's not issues. There are issues, and you want to look at those.
Yeah, you know, as we're thinking about momentum, you'll see in a, say, a football game, you'll see a time when the momentum seems to shift to the other side. And sometimes it seems like in our church setting, the momentum has shifted to the enemy. But you'll always see them, you know, sports commentators, they'll say, as their team's going into the locker room at halftime, well, those coaches are going to be digging down. They're going to be looking at their playbook, looking at figuring out what's wrong. And it'll be some changes that need to take place to change the momentum when they come back out on the field. And that's true in our church setting. You know, yes, the momentum may have shifted against us, but we have the opportunity to look at our playbook, to do some, talking with our team and shift the momentum back. Just like you said, different parts of how we reach out to people, there's ways that you can do that.
Well, you know, you mentioned in our notes the word morale, and we are responsible for the morale of our church. And if we get up on Sundays and we're defeated and we're frustrated and we're blaming people, you know, well, if we had enough volunteers, we could do this. And if you people, you know, and you get up there like that, you've just crushed morale.
Oh, yeah.
Momentum, you know, and I don't mean that our ministry should always be like some rah, rah, rah cheerleader type thing. But what the whole idea of morale is, recognize who we serve.
Yeah.
Recognize what we represent, the church, and that the gates of hell can't stand against it, and that we serve a victorious God. And that should be enough to remind us that our people need some encouragement, and especially in this season.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a season where encouragement needs to happen. Now, you encourage with the truth, you encourage with love, but we encourage people to know and to remember that God is the victor. And that will really help morale. That is one of the first places I think to begin to look at when you want to throw blame around.
Mm-hmm.
Blame God for the victory. Start there.
There you go. Well, and yeah, I'm glad you said that, Alan, because it is right that we point people to God, because He is awesome. He is mighty, and He's able to overcome the horrible things that your church may have gone through, the horrible things that you may be setting in right now. And so, you know, instead of being navel gazers, let's point to the greatness of God.
You'd have to say navel gazer this week, wouldn't you?
Sorry.
So that's all right.
Yeah.
Alan. Yeah, what people don't know. So this week I had to have a hernia repair. I told Trent before our podcast began that it feels like I have a toothpick sticking in my belly button right now. And so navel gazing does not sound like much fun.
And then he told me not to do anything funny, so he has to laugh. So, yeah, I'm trying not to, but darn, it's hard not to do that.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about
it.
Oh,
my gosh.
Anyway, but it is, Trent, you know, I love this idea that we want to own it. And, you know, there are things we have to own.
Right.
And I hope people will own their sense of humor right now.
Yeah.
Because we need a sense of humor in this season.
Mm-hmm.
I just continue to hear how many churches are doing so well through all that we've been through, but then I hear pockets of churches that are falling apart. They're bickering and fighting, and,
right.
and things are not well. And that is not where God wants mm-hmm. us to be. And, you know, it all begins for all of us. We all need to take responsibility. If you're a layperson, help your pastor, help your mm-hmm. minister out. Take responsibility for your part.
Right.
And that will certainly help your church out. Pastors, mm-hmm. be bold, be brave, stand
right.
up there, share the good times, mm-hmm. take responsibility in the bads, but own it. Own what's going on. And know that Trent and I are here to help you. And so, Trent, how can folks reach out to us?
Well, there's several things that we want to mention to you. One of those is that we would like for you to share our YouTube channel and our videos and help us to increase those who are subscribed to that. So if you're watching this for the first time on our YouTube channel, then make sure and subscribe so that you can keep track of what's going on. But Alan mentioned earlier that we also provide the service of doing a consultation. We would love to do that. Maybe you're going through a hard time right now and you need somebody to help you see what the real issues are to have a fresh set of eyes. And so you can contact us by, first of all, going to enduringchurches.com. You can also keep up with us on our Facebook page. Or Alan, his email is alan@enduringchurches.consulting. And then my email is trent@enduringchurches.consulting. I know that's a lot of letters and everything, but hey, we really want to have the opportunity to help you out. We want you to endure.
That's right. That's our heart. And we are so grateful, again, that you take time to join us. And we are excited. Next episode, episode 100. And we look forward to sharing that with you. So, again, do us the favor of sharing this one. And we look forward to a great celebration with you in our next episode. Thanks for joining us.